This one today has to do with how our belief, as far as where we came from, and our belief in God's Word, how it affects people. And how it's affected people historically. Some of this you may have heard before. Some of it may be quite a surprise. If you're a history buff, especially of the past 100 years, some of this will be familiar, but some of it might not be. We know how the Bible starts, right? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we know what God's Word says about the beginning of our world. There isn't, you know, to someone that believes God's Word, there isn't any doubt about who created the world and where we came from. You know, we read in the very first two chapters of the Bible about where it was all, where it all came from. God made all of this out of nothing. There was nothing there, and then there was something there. And He created the worlds, and He created all the planets, the stars, the suns, created all life, plant life, and life in the seas, and life in the air. And then, of course, the pinnacle of His creation was mankind. And so, there isn't any doubt about those things to people who believe God's Word. But, to all of those people who don't believe that, there has to be another idea for where the worlds came from and where life came from. But the thing I want us to look at this morning is, depending on which of those two things you believe in, that affects how you live. So it's not unimportant. And unfortunately, so many people that allegedly believe the Bible claim that it's not all that important. But beliefs affect how you live to a great degree. And that's something that I want to for us to see this morning. We're going to see how some false beliefs about man and man's nature has led to some horrific things that's happened. And I think everybody in here certainly knows that believing that we were created by God, that He gave us an eternal spirit, that He's the one that made everything we see, that affects how we view life, doesn't it? Absolutely, it views how we affect life. So, those first few chapters in Genesis are really the foundation for the rest of the Bible. Yes?
As a matter of fact, the two first verses of the first chapter.
Yeah?
May I break in just a second? Because in our human condition, we cannot conceive of time, space, force, matter,
that's right.
And motion.
That's right.
And so if you read those in the beginning, time,
yeah,
God created force, the heaven, space, and the earth, matter. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved motion on the face of the water. Doesn't explain any how.
Yeah.
It states it as a matter of fact.
That's right. And there was no body there besides God. God was the one who did all of this. And that is really affects everything that we do. Because if you take out those first few chapters of Genesis and then go and try and read the book of Romans, for instance, Romans doesn't make any sense. Because Romans talks about Adam. Well, if Adam didn't exist, and if Adam and Eve didn't live in the garden, and if they didn't have a fellowship with God, and if they didn't transgress God's Word, then the rest of the Bible, it doesn't even make any sense. 1 Corinthians doesn't make any sense if you take out the first couple of chapters of Genesis. So there is so much of the Bible that just simply doesn't make sense if Adam and Eve didn't exist and if they didn't sin in the garden. So again, those views are critical to people's beliefs and how they view the world. So I want to look at this morning some of those very things and how they've affected people's beliefs over time. And again, some of these will be things you've heard before. Some of them you've probably never heard at all. But it all goes back to how we believe where we came from. Because there's only two possibilities, right? There's just two possibilities. Either some great intelligent being created us in the world and gave us a soul, or it all came about naturally and there isn't any great intelligent being. So it's an either or situation. There's nothing in between. I know people have tried to make some in-betweens, but it's just one or the other. And so depending on which of those two you choose, then that, again, will affect how you live. So we're going to go back, first of all, to 1911. Okay, raise your hand if you were here, 1911. One, two, okay. 1911. We could go back further than that, but that's far enough probably. 1911, a book was written called Germany and the Next War. Now remember, this is well before World War II. Okay, this is 1911. Book was written called Germany and the War by a man named Friedrich von Bernhardi. In the book, now remember, this is 40 some years after Darwin wrote his book, The Origin of Species, which we'll talk much more about later. He says that war is a biological necessity. And in that book, he gives proof in his idea about why war is a biological necessity. And he quotes Darwin's book. Talks about the struggle for existence, natural selection, and survival of the fittest. That book was approved by the German government, the German leaders. And then, you know, it was only 3 or 4 years after that that World War I started. Which, of course, Germany had a part of. Different system than later developed. But so let's talk a little bit about, you know, Darwin wrote his book back in the mid 1800s. And while it's typically called Origin of Species, you need to read the long title of that book. Because the long title, which he wrote, I mean, this was his title, the long title is about favored races. And if you read that, in the book, Darwin talks about how some races of people are vastly superior to other races. And it's very plain, people that believe and promote evolution today don't want to talk about that aspect of Darwin. But that's exactly what he wrote. And then the book repeatedly talks about how certain races of people are better than other races of people. And so in the book, he says those people who are, those races who are, in his terms, superior, they have, they're stronger, they're smarter, they're faster, they're this, they're that, and the other. Claiming that they are more highly evolved. And in the book, he claims that certain races that are inferior are closer to being apes. He's in the book, and again, this is something that people don't want to admit, but he was a huge racist. He was one of the worst racists that ever lived, but people don't want to bring that up. Yes?
Darwin wasn't raised in Arkansas, right?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think he ever went there.
There was a man named Nietzsche.
We're going to talk about him later, right?
Okay, excuse me, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Go ahead and bring him up now. He's one of the next ones.
I think he wrote before Darwin, but he's the one that Adolf Hitler based a lot of his beliefs on. He proposed the theory that there would eventually be a master race.
That's right. Yep.
I don't know the time frame. I don't know if he was before Darwin or...
No, he was after Darwin a little bit, but not by much. And this is, these are the things that, that we're talking about that are, that if you look at history, and don't look at a politically correct history, but actually look at history, you'll see what kind of thinking. Now, if you believed that, if you believe that races were superior and that, you know, war was good because it got rid of the inferior people, well, look at what kind of things that's going to lead to that we're going to get to in a minute. I mean, you can think about, you know, if you had that idea of people. Oh, yes.
Yes. A lot of times people choose their beliefs according to what they want to do.
Absolutely. And we're going to see how that happened, especially in those that decade prior to World War II. It was very prominent in what happened. Well, right after that is the time of Nietzsche with fascism and kind of the beginning of Hitler's Nazism, but Nietzsche came first. And he believed in what was called at the time social Darwinism. And basically that just taught that there were people, there were races that were not only superior, but were supposed to be superior. And they were better, and their lives were more valuable than these inferior races. And that was the idea of social Darwinism. So that it was okay. I mean, you could oppress certain races because they weren't fully human. In other words, they were less than human.
Well, these ideas go farther back than that. The Vikings
always
referred to the people that they conquered as Skraelings,
okay.
Savages. They they were very proud of their white skin, blue eyes, mm-hmm. so they didn't mix with the people they conquered.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep, that's right. That's very true. Yes?
I think there's a song or a proverb. I've forgotten where it is. You may have it there in your notes. It says, it's sort of in a verse form, and it's like a poetic version. It says, but time and chance happen to all men.
Yep.
Do you have that in your notes?
No, it's in Ecclesiastes, but I don't remember exactly which verse it is. But yes, that's true. It is. But I don't remember where it is. Maybe someone can find it for us, because that's very relevant. The guy that brought this to Italy, of course, when you're going back to those times, Benito Mussolini, the same thing. Mussolini's attitude was completely dominated by evolution. In public speeches, he repeatedly used Darwin's words. And he said, and it says he mocked at peace because he says peace would hinder evolution. That goes back to the idea that war was good because war got rid of inferior races. And so all of these people that we've talked about, like Nietzsche and Darwin and we'll talk about Hitler in a minute, but Mussolini, they were all extremely racist. Yes.
That's Ecclesiastes 9:11.
Okay.
I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen unto them all. And we who are blessed to live in this country, even with our economic and problems, just imagine ourselves transported instantly out of here to a third world country, somewhere in Africa, where they're 70% ridden with AIDS, where it doesn't rain, the ground has got starvation, children dying for lack of pure water.
Yeah.
And what would you do about that through your superior intelligence?
That's right.
If you live there.
That's exactly right.
There.
Yeah. That's a real good example. That's a very good example. And that's what kind of has happened over time. What these people, like Nietzsche, Mussolini, and others, they were able, because they believed that they were superior. So with Darwin's theory, they thought they had some scientific backing for their belief. So no wonder they kind of grabbed it, because they thought, hey, this supports my belief that we're part of a superior race. Well, if you believe that you're the superior race and you're superior people and others are inferior, it's not so bad to kill them, is it? Because they're inferior. You get rid of them. So that's fine. They're an inferior race. They're not as good. We need to get rid of them. And Darwin said, well, you're superior because you're more evolved. You're stronger and smarter. You're more evolved. So see, they just kind of latched onto that. No wonder people like Nietzsche and Mussolini and others and Hitler later, you know, just took Darwin's theory and just ran with it. And no wonder they used his words and his ideas over and over again, because that in their mind gave them some real credence. You know, hey, I've got some real backing to my belief. It's okay to kill inferior races because they're inferior. This is some quotes. Few people realize that Hitler, in bringing about World War II, merely put into practice what he believed was human evolution. Darwin and Nietzsche were the two philosophers studied by the National Socialists in working out the philosophy set forth in Hitler's Mein Kampf. In this work, Hitler asserted that men rose from animals by fighting. So it was, I mean, it's the most natural thing in the world to have a war, right? That way you got rid of all these inferior, subhuman type of races. So that was, you know, there wasn't anything wrong with that in his way of thinking, because he had Darwin to support his theory, which he wanted. And so he could quote Darwin and say, well, look, this is what science tells us is true. Let's get rid of all the inferior races. They're not as smart, they're not as strong, they're not as good, blah, blah, blah. So that we'll just have the superior races left. And people who promote Darwinism and so forth do not want to read this type of stuff. Even though it's just, it's written and they can read it if they want to, but they don't want to associate racism with Darwinism, but it's the same thing. But they're offended if you bring it up. I know I've read about places where it was brought up and they're really offended, but you can't believe one without believing the other. Because the whole basis of the origin of species is, again, looking at the subtitle, that there are inferior and superior races. And that's just part of the struggle. Inferior races are inferior. And of course, we know that's what, of course, brought on all the concentration camps and all those things that happened. Those were inferior, you know, to Hitler. Blacks, you know, Hitler was really racist against blacks. Incredibly racist. He thought they were very, very subhuman. So killing Jewish people and blacks and people like that was just like killing animals, you know, and that's what he believed. He didn't believe they had souls or they were even fully human, so why not kill them? That just got rid of all these inferior things. That's kind of how they were viewed. Blacks and Jews were just kind of looked at as things because they weren't as highly evolved. So it was okay, you know, if you killed them by the thousands and more, well, didn't make any difference. That was fine. And they thought that was just fine to do that. Now, there wasn't any remorse about that because they really, and again, so much of it was based on Darwin's ideas that they were not evolved, that it was good to get rid of inferior races, that they weren't created, you know, by a god, because they didn't believe in any type of god anyway. Most of them didn't. So there wasn't going to be any Day of Judgment or anything. So, yes.
It's amazing what ignorance can do, isn't it? If they had just looked into the complicated social structure of the black people.
Yeah.
If they just looked into, as far as the Jews go, if they just noticed who was controlling their money.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Seemed past their noses a little bit.
But they wanted to believe they were the superior race. That's what they wanted to believe. And so they found something they thought backed it up. But of course, this goes on even into communism with, you know, the gulags and all that they had. Those prisons did much of the same thing, just later on. So all of these kind of had the same idea or same purpose, was that there were superior races, there were inferior races. Let me give you some quotes from people like Marx and Lenin, who were some of the, I guess, founders, you might say, of at least communist Russia. This is just a few months after Darwin's Origin of Species was published, Engels, who was one of the main ones behind all of this too, wrote to Marx saying, "Darwin, whom I am just now reading, is splendid." Then Marx wrote back to Engels, "These last few weeks I have read Darwin's book of Natural Selection. This is the book which contains the basis in natural history for our view." Well, that's exactly what he wrote. This explains what we're doing. And this was communism. This was, of course, after Hitler. But this was communism. And, of course, communism has been, you know, from the beginning, very atheistic. Of course, still is, but the beginning of it. And then later, Marx wrote, "Darwin's book is very important and serves me as a basis in natural science for the class struggle in history." Again, that's more about social Darwinism. Marx wanted to dedicate his book, or at least allegedly wanted to dedicate his book, Das Kapital, to Darwin. Marx autographed a copy of the book for Darwin, saying he was a sincere admirer of him. Then Lenin later wrote, "Darwin put an end to the belief that animal and vegetable species bear no relation to one another except by chance, and that they were created by God." See, he understood Darwin's theory. I mean, Darwin's idea negated, got rid of God. There wasn't any need for God because it rose by natural selection. It rose by one being superior to another. So there wasn't any need for God. And so no wonder if communism was based upon those ideas that it became atheistic. I mean, how could it become anything else but that? Let's see. Let's talk a little bit about some of the psychology. Much of psychology, not all of psychology, but much of psychology is based in evolution. And we may not have known that, but much of it is. Sigmund Freud was one of the worst. He described himself as a completely godless Jew. These are his words. He described himself as a hopeless pagan. He was a follower of Darwin. He called the stories in the Bible fairy tales. Erich Fromm, another very influential psychologist, was an atheist, a materialist, a humanist. He said that if anything is divine, it's man. And of course, a lot of modern psychology is based upon the idea that man is it. Man's the ultimate answer to everything. Man can solve all of man's problems regardless of what they are. Man is basically divine. And that's where a lot of that comes from. B.F. Skinner, I think he was the one that started the behaviorist theory, was so committed to humanism that he signed up as an endorser of the Humanist Manifesto II. Those were two of the documents signed by atheists, and basically both of those documents said that there is no God. Man is his own God. Man can take care of all of his own problems. Man is the answer to everything. Man is the ultimate. And basically that was the essence of both of those documents. Sometimes you ought to get on your computer and and Google Humanist Manifesto 1 and 2 and read all the people that signed it. You'll be surprised at some of them that signed it that were atheists. We talk about Carl Sagan. He was one of the most well-known atheists for years. Died not all that long ago. But he was on Cosmos. Remember, he was the one that did Cosmos on TV and talked about a number of things like that. He also talked about abortion. And this may be something you've not heard about him, but he was a great defender of abortion. And the reason he defended abortion, and he thought abortion was a very good way of getting rid of what he considered subhuman individuals, was that he held to the old belief, which even evolutionists really don't believe anymore, was that the human embryo undergoes changes in the womb similar to how life evolved on Earth. That was back when I was in college, that was still fairly commonly held. But even evolutionists don't really talk much about that anymore. But he believed that. And so if you kill an embryo, then you're not really killing a human because it was passing through those stages of evolution. So if you killed it, in the third month, you were really just killing something similar to a fish. So if you could kill a fish, it'd be okay to kill an embryo because the embryo at that stage was nothing more than a fish. And so that's why he promoted abortion for any reason, because you really weren't killing anything human. You were just killing some sort of animal. And so that fit with it. Of course, Hitler practiced abortion a lot. Same reason. He only wanted the fittest, in his idea, the superior race of ones to exist. Of course, he also practiced that well after birth, of course, as well. One of the reasons I thought this was important is so many people, even who claim to be Christians, aren't very strong supporters of what the Bible says about creation and about the world and about where man came from, and they don't really think it's that big a deal. I've heard Christians say that it's not really not that important. It's way beyond important. It's critical. You know, our view of where we came from is critical. And if we don't believe the first, you know, two or three chapters of the Bible, well, you know, if you don't believe Genesis 1, 2, and 3, why would you believe 4, 5, and 6? If you don't believe all of Genesis, why would you believe all of Exodus? You know, the Bible either stands or falls on the whole Bible. Well, you can't just take the parts that's comfortable to you. It's either all or nothing. Here are some things that our origins, if people that believe that there is no God, that we're here by accident, by chance. Evolution undermines faith in God and encourages unbelief. It denies the truth of hundreds of passages throughout the Bible. Think about all the passages in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, that refers back somehow or other to the creation of the world, or to Adam and Eve, or to the first sin, or something like that. Hundreds of them. Well, you have to throw all those out. It encourages denial of other miracles. It denies man's in the image of God, because there is no God. It denies divine origin and authority for marriage. Same reason. I have an article up here that was given about that very thing, about marriage. Who needs marriage? And I'm sure when you read that article, there's some in there that maybe indirectly refers to what we've been talking about. You know, our worldview of who we are and whether we're made in the image of God or not greatly affects what we do and what we believe. It implies that life is without meaning or purpose. It says there's no reason for becoming a child of God because there's no God. And there's a number of others as well. And so these things are really, really important to us. And hopefully we've gotten a little bit of that this morning. Well, thank you very much for your comments.